Hello everyone, this is Vikas and you are listening to Run With Fitpage. We are reaching closer to episode 200, rather not, right? It's 27 episodes away, still. It's closer than where it was before. We are more excited than before because you continue to love us, you continue to listen to us and continue to help us rank number one most of the times in the fitness category of podcasts in India. Thank you so much for all of it. Today, I thought we will have a solo conversation where we are discussing the issues related to running in summer and what can you do to prevent some of the summer-related issues. When it comes to summer, some of the points can come handy when we are running, racing, or generally training. Let us talk about clothing, shoes, training, recovery, and nutrition. We will start with clothing. When we are running in the summer, of course, we are heating a lot more. If we are running in a hot weather condition, then there is sweat that's coming out and it is evaporating as well. Whereas if we are running in the humid conditions, while we are sweating but it's not evaporating, as a result, what's happening, our sweat pores are closing and we start to heat a little more. There is a requirement at this time that is of special clothing. What is that? When you start to see that salt starts to get deposited on the skin, it is creating friction. You will see that when you sweat, and specifically in the humid conditions, when you're sweating and you have a clothing that is sticking to your skin, or even if it's too loose, or even if it's too heavy, it starts to create friction with your skin. Primarily in your chest area, you will see on the sides of your tummy, etc. And by the end of it, you will be bleeding. So what you should be doing? You can start by, if you have your nipples are chafing, in that case, you can look at applying Vaseline. You can, in fact, I try and use Band-Aid actually. Just put on your nipples just before the run, wear a t-shirt, come back and you can remove it. Another one is there are anti-chafing creams that are fairly popularly available everywhere. You can look at purchasing those as well. But Vaseline, Band-Aid, and anti-chafing cream, one of the three should do good for you from a chafing point of view. When you think of chafing in your lower extremities, whether it is on your feet, that is blisters, or if you have in your groin area, etc., what you should look at is possibly attend slightly differently. If it's in your groin area, you should look at selection of shorts that you have that should not have very stiff lining, as well as if you're wearing underwear, you might want to reconsider not wearing an underwear. I'm not suggesting you whether you wear or not. It's a personal choice, but maybe you can look at selecting a pair of shorts that have inbuilt underwear or with lining and that you can wear. I find it very, very handy, and that helps with chafing that otherwise be caused by wearing a cotton underwear or maybe any other material, heavy underwear. Let's move away from the underwear and go to socks. You will see that because of the heat and humidity both, your feet not only swell, but also they start to sweat. As a result, there is friction, the skin becomes moist, it starts to possibly starts to chafe, you will start to see blisters, gets bruised, becomes red, etc. It also starts to become pretty warm. I was speaking to a friend of mine and he was saying that in the morning during summer, he finds it very warm in his feet. So what do you do in these conditions? Move away from cotton socks, 100%. Move to very thin running specific polyester socks or special material socks that will help you run better. What you can also do before you wear your socks, apply some talcum powder on your feet, on the sides specifically, in the areas where it is prone for you to chafe or have blisters, and you will see by the end of the run, you're still happy and smiling. You can also look at your shoes, and that brings to the second point, that is selection of shoes when it's summer condition. You can look at your shoes that are not as heavy, that are little more breathable, meaning you can look at the mesh of the shoes, the upper mesh being lighter, little more breathable. And if you can wear half a size bigger, it is not going to hurt you. I'm not saying you buy a pair of shoe for summer versus for winter, but if you have a shoe that fits you slightly loosely, it may be a time that you wear those in summers versus a pair of shoe that fits you a lot tighter, wear that in the winter season. So this could be a way for you to look at selecting the right pair of shoes. Another way that you can look at when you're selecting your shoes, that is something where the laces are not very tight. You can look at if the tongue of the shoe is not very thick and the laces are not coming and tying there very, very tightly, then you're fine. That also means that you can look at loosening the laces. Very simple. We talked about clothing. We talked about shoes. Let us talk about training. Generally, by the time summer season comes here in India, if you're racing in a local race, high chances that it starts to become your off season. And as a result, you move away from your regular training of a marathon, half marathon, or any other distance. However, if you're training for an ultra, for example, Comrades, or if you're training internationally, you're going to any other race, it may be a time where you are building your base, or for some of the races, you are at peak of your race. And so it becomes important for you to try to train in a way that you will not only be able to run well during training, but also you're able to recover very well. So what do we do? If you are someone who is not racing in the next 12 to 16 weeks, for example, so in the summer, the day starts early. One of the things I found that helps is not start too early, but start at around when the sun is coming out. Why I say this? While the sun is coming out, you will see that there are shades through which you can run. If you started about an hour before the sunrise, humidity is at its peak. You can check the temperature record of wherever you live. You will see around then the humidity is at its peak. And when you're running around that time, you will find it a lot more warmer, a lot warmer than otherwise. So I would suggest when it's about to be a sunrise, then try and run. And try and run in shades. Basic, simple, common sense. Of course, apply SPF. I try and apply SPF 50. Wear polarized glasses if it starts to become, a little late. I'm not talking about the long Sunday run as yet or long Saturday run as yet. I'm talking about your regular training runs. I will come to the long Sunday run in a bit. So if you start not too early and not too late as well, at least logistically you're taken care of. Second thing what you do is even for shorter runs that you're going, try to carry an electrolytes bottle with you. Why I'm saying this is because if it's warmer, you will tend to excrete more sweat and electrolytes are going along with it. And you do not want to be in a condition that over a period of time, you're getting dehydrated. If you're dehydrated, you will see some, you may or may not see some early signs. And over a period of time, when you realize it may be a little too late. Next thing that you do is slow down. And I'm saying this with a lot of emphasis that you must slow down. Why? Let's take an example that earlier when you were doing your zone 2 slow run, that was at a 6 minutes a kilometer pace. And an average heart rate was about 140. Now, if you are trying to hit the same pace of 6 minutes, you will see your heart rate maybe anywhere between 145 to at times 155 and even 160, depending on your heat adapted body or not, depending on how acclimatized you are getting or not, and several other reasons, how you are physiologically, etc. Now, if you try to continue running that fast in the summer season as well, what will happen? Your zone 2 is no more zone 2. it is becoming high zone 3 and maybe even early zone 4. Your zone 3 training may not be zone 3 at all. It may get to late zone 4 or early zone 5. And your faster runs may not even be zone 5. It may be at the top end of zone 5. As a result, what's happening? Almost all the time, you are running with higher effort. And because of that, you are going to be needing more time, more effort, better temperature for recovery. So if you see, it's as simple as this. If you do not slow down, you're going to elongate almost everything else after. Now, if you are slowing down, then how do you slow down? Because we do not like to slow down, correct? We want to improve. We are humans. We are competitive. We want to improve almost all the time, regardless of the weather conditions. So if you are thinking that your race has to do well, that you have to perform really well, you must listen at this time that while you see your watch shows a particular pace that you're trying to hit, your body does not know that. What your body knows is at what effort, at what heart rate, on an average, that you are training at. Now, if you're reducing your heart rate, even though your pace is getting slower, that doesn't matter, because you are going to be heat adapted. And when it comes for you to race in a cooler temperature, you will see that you're able to run faster. You're able to run faster. So you should not think that just because you're hitting slower paces now, you will not be able to run fast in your race. No. There are various ways of training, correct? You can train as per your pace. You can train as per your heart rate. You can train as per your zone. All of this comes together to reflect effort. I'm not a big fan of training as per pace, like I said earlier, during summer season, primarily because it's a false reflection of your effort as compared to other seasons. So I would suggest you should think of two ways of training in the summer. One, either train as per your heart rate. If you know your true zones, that is, what's your zone 1, zone 2, 3, 4, 5, and if you have more zones, you can think of those as well. Either you train as per zones or you train as per time. That is, you being on your feet for a particular duration, actually, that's a fantastic idea. You're getting heat adapted. You're not caring for your pace. You just want to be out for 45 minutes. You want to be out for 60 minutes. Because trust me, the bare basic and the fundamental principle for you to keep improving, for you to keep doing better, is progression. And how do you progress? By being consistent, which you're being anyway, right? But why will you want to be by putting in so much effort that you can't recover from it when you are not heat adapted, when your heart is going through putting in a lot more effort and taking a lot more to recover? How are you going to then race with your best abilities? Isn't it true then that you either look at your heart rate as a way to train, that is your zones, or you think of the number of minutes or hours that you're going to train? So what does it mean? It means that if you know your zone, say zone 2 being 140 to 150, 3 being 150 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, and so on, then what you can do is you can work on your training plan, or you can work with your coach to work on your training plan in a way that your training should be that today you run for 45 minutes in zone 2. Today you run for 1 hour in zone 3 with maybe a small tinge of 5 minutes of threshold in zone 4, for example. That is a lot better way of training than if you are going to train on the basis of paces, because now the paces won't be true paces. You will be then hurting, if not today, tomorrow, not tomorrow, next week, or a week later, but you'll be hurting for sure. And you would have seen this if you have been in the situation before, that if you continue to push yourself, very soon you will be prone to inflammations. Very soon your immunity will be compromised and you will go down with cough and cold. You might be going down with any other basic inflammation condition, falling sick, not being able to turn up to run for a week or 2 weeks, that's a lot more worse than just not being able to hit the paces that you planned that you want to be hitting your paces with. Okay, I will recap so far what we discussed and then we move forward. We discussed about selection of your clothing. We discussed about selection of shoes, when you should be running, at what time, for example. And we talked about some of the components of your training so far. We also talked about some housekeeping items, for example, carrying an electrolyte bottle, carrying a water bottle if possible. Actually, I see a lot of people going and having coconut water right after the run, which is a great thing. But if you're having coconut water, one thing you might want to do is ask them to add a little bit of salt in it, because coconut water does not have that much salt. And as a result, the sodium replenishment that is needed may not be sufficient if you are solely relying on the coconut water. I know it's very, very popular. I love it too. But I try and add a pinch of salt, and that does the trick. Even more, I at times try to put sugar as well, because then it's full electrolyte and you're getting a little more sugar as well, a little more energy for you to keep going. That's a trick that really works for me. Now, when you are running, during your training, if it's humid condition, for example, places like Mumbai, Chennai, etc., you should look at finding your hydration support for sure. Meaning, if you're doing a run of 45 minutes or even a little more, try and think, can you spray water on yourself as you're running? What do I mean by that? And why I say this? Like I said, if it's a humid condition, your sweat pores are getting closed sooner, and especially if you're running closer to the sea, etc. And as you pour water on the body, for example, on your arms or on your shoulder, what happens is it opens those pores, and as a result, your sweat pores are open and they are able to evaporate the sweat as well. And that will cool down your body quicker. Next thing that you do when you are running, particularly if you are running for a little more than an hour, for example. Now, when you are making selection of your fueling, other than electrolytes, for example, because in the longer runs, you will need the fueling, try and see that you resort to the smaller bites of simple carbohydrate. Instead of trying to take the whole gel, try to maybe either take a bite of it, move to small pieces of chewies, etc. Or better if you can have something in liquid form and chilled. If it's possible, what will happen, it will give your digestive system a bit of break. It will not require for it to put in effort and raise the core temperature a little bit more. And that way, what will happen, you'll remain cooler as you progress. If you find you're getting warm and you need instant cooling, what you should try and do is, on the back of your neck, right where the shoulder blades are meeting, what you should try and do is put a cold towel there, or pour the water. That's an area which is closest to your skin, where the blood is closest to your skin. And when you are cooling it there, your body is cooling instantly almost. So you should try this trick, and hopefully it will help you. Moving forward in training, let's say you are going for your Saturday long run or Sunday run. Now, what you cannot do is you cannot start closer to the sunrise, correct? Because by the time you finish, it will be too late. So what do you do in this case? I try and run away from larger buildings as much as possible. For example, if you live in Mumbai and if you have a long run and you plan to do your long run in BKC area, where there are a lot of buildings around, or if you try to run near Cherni Road in the parallel road of Marine Drive, early morning, just before the sunrise is happening, you will see it's a lot more humid. Try to run in open areas as much as possible. At least there will be some wind circulation, and that will help you. You will think, we are trying to just be too selective, isn't it? Yes. We are trying to get as close to a perfect equilibrium as possible. You do not have to do all of these, but whichever of these are available with you, you can try and attempt in getting those. One other thing that works for me during long runs is avoiding the warm-up. Instead, make warm-up as part of your run itself. I know I'm not going to promote that you do not warm up at all, but your body is quite warm anyway. And so if you are just able to get into the run and use first couple of kilometers to warm up, that's a good idea. In fact, one other thing I try and do is early morning before long run, I will try and take a cold water shower. And because of that, what happens is it keeps your body cooler as much as possible. So try and use that. Do not wear anything that's like a jacket or something where like how an athlete goes and then removes the jacket and then you go and run in singlet. There's no need when you're going for a long run. These are smaller points, but I have seen these helping. So I'm suggesting now when you go for a long run, what you need to keep in mind that is that you need to think of your sweat rate. You need to think of your electrolyte consumption, that is replenishment, a lot more than if you're just going for a 45 minutes or an 1 hour run. Everybody is a different type of sweater, correct? Some do not sweat at all. Some are very, very heavy sweaters and some are medium. You should find which one works for you. And there are various calculators that are available, including one that we are introducing in our app very soon. But an easier way of doing that is, for example, for me, what I try and do is every 1 hour of run, I'm a medium sweater. So I will take an effervescent tablet of 1000 mg. If you are very, very base sweater, look at 500 mg. If you are medium sweater, 1000 mg. And if you are very heavy sweater, 1500 mg of electrolytes per hour in half a liter of water works well. I'm not saying this should be the only fluid that you consume, but at least you consume this much. That is, put an effervescent tablet, that's 500, 1000 or 1500, depending on the way you sweat. Not an exact calculation, but it works for me. I fall in the 1000 category and it works fairly well for me. I've not had any dehydration issue ever. And so this is something, but it's like an N of one example I'm giving you. If it doesn't work for you, you should consider what works for you. But I try and do that and it has worked very well so far. So take one of these three tablets. If you get a tablet which is not of, say, 1500 mg, what you can do is take two of them or three of them to meet that number. Try and take the taste of it that it should suit you very, very well. Because otherwise what happens as the water becomes warm and as you're running in the warm condition, you stop drinking it in the later part of the run. And that becomes an issue. We think that because we are carrying it, we would have consumed that water as well. But that's not the case. And that will hurt you. So you should be very disciplined with the consumption of electrolytes because here the sweat rate is fairly higher than otherwise. And so you will need it because very soon you will start to feel headache, you'll start to feel other symptoms, and that will impact your recovery. When you're on your long run, of course, you focus on replenishing with water, some spray, water spray if possible. If you're in Mumbai and Pune, we are supporting with our water stations, so you will find in most parts of both of these cities. Hopefully, we are coming up in 6 additional cities in a few weeks, but otherwise, try and see if there are shops where you can place these water bottles and you can get the sprays as you are running. Some of this may just sound totally impractical, but trust me, these longer runs, if you are safe training wise, if you're able to go and get those long runs in and not fall sick, not feel dehydrated, it will go a long way in your training, right? Because one other beautiful thing about running in summer is, so far I've not talked about a single beautiful thing, by the way. So one beautiful thing about running in summer is that it's more like a altitude training for poor. If we cannot go, we do not have the liberty of going to the mountains because of work or any other geographic or any other constraints, financial or of any other nature. Training in summer actually helps you significantly as well in improving your running paces whenever you are racing in the cooler temperature. So you should definitely prioritize all your long runs and every other run, just that adjust the paces and other things that we are talking about so far. So make sure that periodically you have fluid kept, you have electrolytes kept and you're consuming them, you are taking care of your sweat by pouring water in yourself or spraying water, if you can get hold of cold sponge somewhere, nothing like it. And that's why running in a community where you make one person volunteer to help you along the way helps really, really well as well. One other thing I've seen that works while on a long run is if there is a liberty for you to change your singlet or t-shirt midway. Because after a point, you will see when there is a lot of salt excretion on your t-shirt, after a point, it starts to become very chafy. It's very deep with the frictions. And as a result, what starts to happen is it starts to impact you. Take a fresh pair of singlet wherever possible if you have kept it on the way or a friend can pass it on to you. And that's a good strategy that works really well. Now, from training point of view, these points will take you to the finish line of a long run. But what's more important here now is a replenishment in the next 24 hours or 48 hours after you are done with your long run. Because your electrolytes replenishment that's supposed to happen may not have sufficiently happened during the race. And so now you need to be careful that possibly your caffeine consumption doesn't have to be that much after the run. Possibly you should include a bit of salt in some of the foods, maybe next 3 to 6 meals. Maybe you can look at consuming some sugarcane juice, some electrolytes in form of ORS or effervescent tablets, wherever you can sprinkle or get. Because in India, as you know, all of us almost have gone through one or two situations every season where we feel that we are lightheaded, we do not have the right energy, we are fatigued and things like those. That helps with your recovery significantly. And that brings the last point, that is how to recover from these long runs and these training runs very well. If you have kept these points in mind that I talked about so far, you already are there 95%, 99%. What I would like to add to these is add a shower in the evening. If you do not shower, I would suggest you do. Now, in the evening, I'm not saying you don't shower at all, but if you do not shower in the evening, add this one. It helps you sleep better. Try and sleep a little longer. You will see that you will recover a little faster, because what also is happening is the sun is rising early, and so you will tend to wake up a little early. Try and pull your curtains down and sleep a little more. Make your room really cool to sleep better, and you will see that helps significantly. The food choices that you are making, try and see that they are cooler in nature. If you can get hold of mint, I love mint in the summer season, consumption of that in almost any form that is possible. In terms of supplementations, I have not been using a lot of it, but one thing I have continued with that is ashwagandha. And that helps me significantly to recover and also sleep pretty well. I feel in the summer, we should focus on sleep a lot more, because otherwise, because of the weather conditions, the sleep gets impacted too. If you're not able to sleep at night, try and get a power nap during the day of 15 to 20 minutes. We have done a podcast earlier with Dr. Amy Bender, where she helped us understand how to sleep well as how to get a power nap. And that episode can come handy for you to understand how to take a power nap, if that's your thing and you think that you can manage. And your employer or someone else during the day will not have an issue if you're sleeping. Other thing that I think you can keep in mind when you are recovering is try to be in, of course, cool conditions as much as possible. It doesn't mean that if you are in the air condition, that's the cool condition. It's going to dehydrate you as well, if because of the moisture issues when the air condition is on, if you are not sufficiently drinking water and electrolytes. I try to consume more and more electrolytes and water during the day. I'm a big fan of coconut water with an added salt and a bit of sugar in it. Make it really ice cool and carry with you to work and consume it. It helps reduce your caffeine intake in the summer. that helps as well, and have a little more comfort food. One other thing that I recently suffered, that was food poisoning. In the summer, we become a lot more susceptible to falling sick with the food poisoning, higher chances for the food to get rotten quicker. And as a result, what might happen, it might be impacting your digestive system. What you can do is try and, of course, it's very basic, but try and make fresh food as much as possible. Eat more fresh vegetables and not cut fruits and keep in the refrigerator for a longer period of time and things like those. That could come handy. Blanch your vegetables. That will come handy as well. I'll repeat, do not keep the fruits in the refrigerator for a long time. That will be good too. And if you can reduce consumption of food, specifically desserts, milk-based desserts in the summer season from restaurant, that is going to be adding significant value. That is all for today. A lot of items we discussed, more like a mini class. I thought we'll just run through. I will try and create some more content around this, but I thought this will come handy as you go and train for next 3 months. Keep running, keep listening, and keep improving. Goodbye for now.